some sinner this morning that may be nearest the flames of hell. I pray that God will deal with your heart and the Holy Spirit will show you your need for salvation this morning and that you'll come to know Christ. If you're able to stand with us, Luke chapter number 16. I would just like to read a portion of this text this morning that we are familiar with and maybe deal with something that I've not dealt with. Not to say that there's others, I'm sure, that has, but this is what's on my heart this morning as I was just praying for the service and praying about God's will. I want you to notice with me in verse number 20. I want to skip the rich man that is mentioned in verse number 19. And I want us to look at the man in verse number 20 this morning, because the Bible said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and notice this, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus likewise, or Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Notice again in verse 27, he indirectly mentions Lazarus as he said, Then he said, I pray thee therefore that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would bless the reading of thy word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I want to thank you this morning publicly for the songs that have been sung, the offering that has been given, and Lord, for the testimonies that have been given this morning. And Lord, I ask you now if you would to bless the word of God as it goes forth, save those souls in this building that may not be saved. I pray the Holy Spirit would put them under deep conviction, and may they come to an altar of repentance, and by faith, may they believe the gospel and trust Christ as their Savior. And Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in verse number 20, the Bible says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, we're familiar with this certain rich man that was mentioned in verse number 19, but there is a beggar that is named here in this verse number 20. And I want you to think about this man's name, because Lazarus' name come from a Greek translation. It'd be the same name as the name Eleazar, which means whom God has helped. And when you look at this text, it really doesn't look like this man's getting a whole lot of help, but he's going to get more help, thank God, than he ever needed as we read further along. I mean, here is a man that when you consider this man and you consider who he is, Lazarus is a man who is sick, and he is a man who is suffering, and he is a man who is starving. And so his name means whom God hath helped. And so we think about this man's name, and then we think about this man's needs in this verse. The Bible said that he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. So it's obvious in this text here that this man Lazarus is hungry. He's wanting something to eat. He is homeless. The Bible said he was laid at his gate full of sores. So he is also someone who is unhealthy and handicapped. He could not get there by himself. And no doubt the reason that he is a beggar is because he is handicapped. He is laid at the gate full of sores. So he has a lot of needs in his life, doesn't he? And so we think about this man's name, and we think about his needs, but we also have to think about his neighbor, this rich man. He is laid at the gate of this rich man's house here. Now, this man has more than what he needs. He has money, and he has materials. He has plenty of meat. He has much. God has blessed this rich man. But what he doesn't have on for Lazarus is he has no mercy. Amen? Now, isn't that amazing? Here's a man that has more than he needs. He has as much as he needs, but he didn't have no mercy on this man that is laid at the gate. You know, the Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This man is going to need mercy a little further in this text, but he's going to find no mercy just like he didn't show mercy on Lazarus. So we think about Lazarus, his name and his need, and we think about his neighbor, but we have to think about his neglect, amen, because there's no crumbs for Lazarus in this text here. There's no concern for him. There is no one to care for him. Lazarus is seen in our text as we would see somebody in society. He is seen as a low life. I know that's not a very good phrase to use, but that's who Lazarus was in society. Society had no mercy for beggars. They were just low lives. They were no one that they could contribute to society. And so society looked down on those that were less fortunate. And this rich man sees Lazarus in the same view. He sees him as a low life. He's a burden. He's a bother. He's just laid at his gate, always begging. He's a beggar. And so he's just a low life. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what, Lazarus, he's about to go from the low life. You know where he's headed? He's headed to the high life. Amen. He's going to draw his last breath. He's going to leave this world. But thank God he's going to a better world. Amen. He's going from the low life to the high life. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on when the low life starts living the high life. Amen. When the low life starts living the high life. You see, this morning, every one of us, before Jesus found us, you know what we were? We were just like Lazarus. Amen. We are a bunch of low lives headed nowheres. You say, I have you know, preacher, I'm somebody in society. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're nobody. Amen. You're somebody headed nowheres to hell, and you need God. Amen. I remember before God found me, and I hope you remember before God found you. I'm telling you, I was nobody headed nowheres, but thank God because of Jesus. Thank God I'm somebody headed somewheres beyond this grave. Amen. And I want to preach on that, on the low life who's now living the high life. Lazarus is living a better life in the world to come. Can I tell you, he's living better right now than he ever lived on earth. And if you live on this earth, you're living in the low life. Isn't that right? The Bible said, yea, in Psalms 23, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that valley's a low place. Isn't that right? It represents this world and this life that we live in, and we live in a low place, but we that are saved know, just like he said a while ago, thank God there's a better day coming. We're looking for Jesus to come, amen, and when he comes, thank God business is going to pick up in our life, amen. The world looks at us this morning and they feel sorry for us. I'm going to tell you something, I don't want anything the world's got. I don't want their music. I don't want their fashion. I don't want their styles. I don't want their theology. Can I get an amen right there? I don't want their booze. I don't want their drugs. I don't want their perversion. They got nothing, thank God, to offer us. But I tell you something, I can offer you something from the Word of God that can change your life for time and eternity this morning. You don't have to live that kind of life. There is a better life. There is a blessed life. Jesus said it is an abundant life. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly this morning. We ought to be excited as Christians for the life that we're living this morning. When I think about this, I want you to notice some things about this beggar, because he was a beggar. He was a burden. He was a bother. But I'll tell you what else, Lazarus was a believer. Lazarus didn't have anything in this world, but he had a whole lot in the next world. You know, there are people today, and there's nothing wrong with having riches. As long as you don't let the things you have you. As long as you don't let the riches that you have and the riches that money can buy, as long as you don't let them rob you of the riches that money cannot buy. Amen. Because there's a lot of people in this world who have much, but they don't have God, and they're empty and they're miserable. And then on the other side, there are people that don't have anything, but they have God, and they have joy and they have peace. There is no price tag you can put on peace. I'd rather be able to lay my head down at
night and know I'm saved as to have all the money this world can offer. Amen. As the songwriter said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have him, my friend, than riches untold. Amen. And if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home, if you know that you've been born again, if you know that you have passed from death unto life, my friend, you've got more riches than this world could ever offer you this morning. I wouldn't trade places with the world today. I see Lazarus in this text in verse number 20. I see his disabilities. The Bible said that he was laid at his gate. I want you to think about where he is laying. He's laying at the gate of a man, a rich man. I think about those who lifted him up. Someone had to bring him to this gate. I think about what he looks like. He looks very ugly in this text. The Bible said that he was full of sores. You know, this flesh doesn't look good. Amen. I mean, we can doctor it up and we can dress it up, but in the end, you know what our flesh is doing? It's falling apart. Amen. One day closer to the grave, it's just falling apart the closer you get. But thank God if you're saved. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of the eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Amen. Our body's going to be changed one of these days. Paul said, "For the saved, this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So when this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there is a better day coming. You may not shout about it now, but thank God you'll shout about it on resurrection morning. We shall rise. Hallelujah. Gonna get up one of these days. I have made my mind up. As I watch this church world get more complacent, more apathetic, and more dead, I've made my mind up. I'm going to worship God to the grave, friend. Oh, you can live in a wilderness if you want to. The wilderness holds nothing for me this morning. I'm going to live in Canaan, thank God. And you can dry up on the vine if you want to. And I'm going to tell you something, I got something to praise God for. And if you shout during singing and can't shout during preaching, I'll doubt your shout. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for people to run the aisle during singing and can't say they won't give you a holy grunt during preaching. Amen. Amen. You want your church to die, just sit there and do nothing. Rigor mortis will set in quicker than you think it will. And I'll tell you, I don't know. I can't change this church world. I can't make you get excited about serving Jesus. I can't make you worship God. And I know one thing. By the good grace of God, I don't plan on dying. Amen. I tell you, I started in this thing this way, and I'm going to end this way. I tell you, I started sitting on a pew saying amen during preaching, and I'm telling you, I'm going to end that way. Amen. I think we sit in church so long and hear so much good preaching all of our life, we just suck it in, amen, like a toad and don't ever say anything. But I tell you, every time I go to the house of God, I'm reminded how good God's been to me, amen. I'm reminded where I ought to be at. I ought to be a drunk in a ditch somewhere this morning. I ought to be sitting on a bar stool. It may not suit everybody's fancy, but I'm as glad this morning that I'm not going to hell as I was 30 years ago, the day God saved me. I'm as glad this morning, thank God, that Jesus is real and that he's right for whatever's wrong in my life. I bless his holy name. You say, I don't like shouting. Doesn't bother me one bit. Amen. I'm telling you, I started this way, and by the grace of God, I'm going to end this way. Some people just look at you. But I tell you, the same people go down to a sports arena and act like a fool and then come to church and think we ought to be all starchy. Isn't that right? Hey, don't get up and testify if you ain't going to say amen during preaching. That's right. I'm telling you, you ought to hang with it till the end, friend. Isn't that right? I remember sitting down there at Tilton Baptist Church. God taught me that. You say, what's that got to do with this text right here? Ain't got one thing. I'm just preaching it right now. We get back, it's a commercial. Amen. But I tell you, I remember sitting down at Tilton Baptist Church. God taught me that. He taught me, son, if you're going to get anything, you're going to have to get in. Amen. I'm telling you, I made my mind up. I'm not letting nobody. I'm not letting people. I'm not letting problems. I'm not letting pressure rob me of my worship and coming to church. Amen. You say, I'm tired. Suck it up and get in anyway. Amen. I'm telling you, if you want to go to a mortuary, go ahead. But I want to go to a sanctuary. I'm telling you, I want to go to a place where God's still real and things are still right. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to wake some of you up this morning. You still got to sleep in your eyes. You still need to wake up and thank God you're saved. Amen. And thank God you're going to heaven. Amen. When this life is over with. I'm just telling you, man, I hate dead worship. I thought I'd just plow it all out this morning. Preach part two tonight if I need to. That's a good thing about when you pastor. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's amazing how that in America we got more than anybody on planet Earth. And I ain't even talking about the world this morning. They don't know God. I'm talking about God's people sitting in church. And they'll sit there like a wooden Indian while you're preaching. I mean, I think there's some pews you could replace them with mannequins and you wouldn't know the difference. That's right, because they're not coming to the altar. Mannequins ain't coming, and some people's not coming. They ain't going to raise their hand. Mannequins ain't going to raise their hand. They don't tithe. Mannequins don't tithe. I'm just telling you. You want a dead church, I'll tell you how to have one. Do nothing. Y'all still with me this morning? Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll bury Bible Baptist Church one shovel at a time if you want to. God don't need our money. He don't need our building. Say, preacher, you fighting? No, I'm just plowing her up this morning. You say, you being mean? No, I tell you, I've been in enough good churches that were good churches. And Brother Doyle, they're dead churches this morning. And I can see it coming on this morning. So you can do what you want to with that. But I'm telling you, I can see it coming on. So if you want it to come on, just let it come on this morning. Because I'm just going to let it be. As a pastor, sometimes you just get tired trying to pull the load. So I said, you know what? Let's just let her die this morning. Let's let her hit the ground. You got something this morning in your heart? You ought to get it right. You're going to give an account to God if you grieve the Holy Spirit in the service. I'm telling you, that come out of nowhere. But I know it didn't. It didn't come out of nowhere. I'll tell you where it came. It came straight from the throne of God this morning. Maybe I ought to bypass this sermon. Maybe I'll just miss this text a little bit this morning. Let's think about it for just a minute. I wonder what Bible Baptist Church would be like 5 years from now. Amen. Let's just let her drive and let her die. I've seen a lot of them do that. I've seen so many of them do that. Go back a year later, it gets a little quieter. A year later, it gets a little bit quieter. It gets a little bit quieter. A little bit quieter. Before you know it, she's gone, friend. And I'm going to tell you something about it. You mark this down. You write this in the, write this down and remember what I'm about to tell you. When it's gone, you will never get it back. That goes for standards. That goes for worship. When it's gone, she ain't coming back. So I tell you, I'll preach that sermon tonight. How about that? I'll pick her back up tonight. We just had a good meeting, didn't we? Preacher, we just had a good revival. I know we did. But you go through that scripture and you read, you know when Noah got drunk? Right after he built the ark. You know when sin's most prevalent to get a hold of us? It's after them victories. It's after them God does something great. And I tell you this morning, Lord, just let me leave that sermon altogether. You say, why would he do that? Because I can see it this morning. You know, sometimes it's like you can just see it. It's handwriting on the wall. I believe I'm preaching to the cream of the crop this morning. I believe that. I believe I'm preaching I believe I'm preaching this morning. I believe I'm preaching in as fine of a church as you could ever be in, and as good of a people as you could ever preach to. But I'm telling you, you have to constantly
And I say we, you have to constantly remind yourself that if you don't pursue God, you'll dry up on Him. You know, as your pastor, God help me. Lord, please help me not to give the wrong impression this morning. I don't want to come. I do not have, there's more things wrong with me than I would ever want you to know about. And I have to ask God to forgive me every single day of my life. So I'm saying that for this reason. I don't want you to think that I think I got it all figured out and got it together, because I don't. But I am going to tell you something this morning. That if we're not careful, if we're not real, real careful, we'll just get in a rut and roll with it. And you let this world, the pressures and the problems, we all have them in life. We all have them. But I'm going to tell you, as your pastor this morning, there's one thing I do not ever want to do. And it's one reason why I left this sermon. Now, I believe God, I mean, I'm preaching it, but I want to follow the Holy Spirit. And there's one thing I never want to do. And I think I can stand here this morning. I mean, I can't remember everything in 26 years. But I believe I can stand here this morning before you and say this. I've never come to you with just an outline to just give you something and say, well, let's just get through it and go home. I never have done that. I've never went to a church and so I'll just pull something out and just preach it and get this, you know, get this done. No, I tell you, I want God, don't you? At times, the Holy Spirit, I just scribble something on a piece of paper, and God said, just preach that. Leave that. Leave everything you studied at time. Leave it alone till later, but you just preach that right there. Because that's what, and I'd rather, I want to be, I'm not telling you I've always been in touch with God, but I want to be, don't you? And when I walk through them doors, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you this, I always want to lay everything at that on the outside. I just want to worship God when we come, don't you? This hadn't happened, but I'm saying if me and somebody had a quarrel, I'd want to get that thing right so fast. I'm telling you, because I would not want to come in this building and try to worship God with aught in my heart against a brother, or a brother have aught in their heart against me. I just can't do that. It'd be a waste of time, wouldn't it, this morning? And I don't want to stand before God. And God said, you remember that service right there that you killed because you had something in your heart against somebody and you didn't get it right, and I couldn't move in that service because you sat there stewing on something? I don't want to give account to God for that. In fact, I've had to preach with people that I knew didn't even like me. Can you imagine somebody not liking me? I can't either. I mean, I like me. I don't know why they don't like me. But I tell you what I was going to do as soon as I saw them, I was going to go shake their hand and tell them, my brother, I'm praying for you. You say, why? Because I don't want anything between me and somebody or me and the Lord. I tell you, God, we come to worship God, and He deserves to be worshipped. My little world don't have nothing to do with whether or not I should worship God. Worship don't need to be based on God, whether or not you've been good to me. He's already been good to me every day of my life. He let me get out of bed this morning. But what goes on in my little world don't have nothing to do with whether or not I ought to worship Him. That's why Job could sit down in the ashes. Anybody buried 10 children in one day? Oh, you ain't had a bad day. Anybody lost everything in one day? No. Job sat down in the ashes that he had offered that morning. I think Job got in that. I preached on this yesterday morning and never saw this till. But I think Job sat in those ashes. We know those were no doubt the ashes he'd put on the altar for his children. I think Job got in them ashes for two reasons. Number one, the altar was the closest place you could get to God in those days. But it was also the closest place he could get to those children. Because he had offered, the Bible said, them according to the number of them all. Job sat down in them ashes, and you'd have thought Job, if he had been a Baptist, he'd probably testified how the devil wrote him so hard. Don't you know it made the devil mad when Job never mentioned the devil's name? The devil said to God, he said, if you take away everything he's got, he said, he'll curse you to your face. He said, take away, and he didn't do that, so he said, take away his health and he'll curse you. Well, Job didn't curse God. What did Job do? He blessed God. And he didn't say the devil's name, but he said the Lord's name. And he didn't say it just once, but you know how many times he said it? 3 times. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if Job can bless God in ashes when his whole world has fallen apart, I ought to be a blessed God in church. I ain't saying you got to act like me. I'm not saying you got to act like me. But y'all, Brother Sammy, you say this, the very least you can do is sit around and smile and laugh a little bit. Amen. Isn't that right? God has been good to us. This morning as we stand, I would have preached that sermon, but I tell you, God just interrupted that. And if you know me, you know I don't do that normally. I usually give you what I got. I don't know if you need to come. Don't know anything about anything this morning other than what the Holy Spirit just led me to do. So it's up to you this morning. If you need to be saved, you need to come get saved. If you need to come get right with God about something, you need to come get right with God this morning. But you're going to have to, I don't know what you need. I don't know that. I tell you, I want to stay tender, don't you? And I want to stay close to God. I'm not telling you I am, but I want to be close to God. And I want to be tender, don't you? And I want to praise Him. If you're backslid this morning, I'm going to tell you why you ought to get right with God. Because God's been too good to you to be backslid. You have no excuse. Now, you can't blame the church. You can't blame your problems. You can't blame a preacher. You might do that, but when you stand before God, that's not going to hold water. If you're backslid, it's because you chose to be, and God loves you. And you ought to get out of that seat and come this morning. You ought to humble yourself, say, Lord, forgive me. I want to get right with you. I'll tell you, if you'll do that, the Lord will take you with arms wide open. Now, God lets you get out of bed this morning. You're going to stand there backslid on God. He's put that next breath you're going to take, God gave it to you. And the next one, and the next one. You're going to stand there backslid on God? You're going to breathe God's air backslid this morning? Sinner, lost person. You're going to breathe God's air lost this morning? Y'all come be saved while we sing. If you need to come, would you come?